Coming up on TMS, that's Egghead Bastardville to you, ma'am.
With great hair comes great responsibility.
They come out of her water slide.
Drugs are a powerful drug.
Like a knee in the groin from your eye doctor.
What about Bob Facebook?
No country for old Bryans.
I can't believe it's not lightsaber.
Random poppy seed Elaine.
The bagel rule of 1824.
Everything bagels with tendrils.
Sufficient Bryans lacking Chads.
Vita Mita meta mates with Tom.
Analog mugs with Randy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, they come as if from outer space in a variety of weird guises. Defender, Pac-Man, asteroids. To fans, they represent a challenge.
Look, Mommy, that lady has dandruff.
This is the Morning Stream. Game over, man. Game over.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, where my soundboard got effed, and I don't know why. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian. Hello.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm all right. It's Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. We hope you're all well as well. We're here to do the Hump Day show, and we hope your Wednesday is full of, I don't know, whatever you do, whatever you're doing, whatever you got. It's fine. We're not going to complain. Look, you could have, you could, I don't know, what do you do on a Wednesday? You go to work, you get the job done.
You go to the break room. You have an eclair or a Danish, probably a Danish of some sort.
Danish donut, maybe. Maybe they do bagels where you work. I don't know.
Maybe, it's Wednesday bagel day, and everybody goes in there, and damn it, Elaine took the last poppy seed one, but don't worry, she's gonna get hers when it comes time to do the drug testing. It looks like she's been doing opium, and that's when she's going to get fired. She's going to get really angry, and she's going to put anthrax in the water.
There you go. We watched that episode 2 days ago, so... Very good.
What? Yeah. What was that an episode of?
It was an episode of Seinfeld. Elaine got the poppy seed muffin and tried to apply for the job, and she got tested positive for heroin.
Seriously? Yeah. That's hilarious, because I was just coming up with a random name and a random type of bagel, but that's exactly right. Yes, it was Elaine Bennis and poppy seed bagels, and there is some sort of... some sort of subconscious Seinfeldism that is working in my head.
There had to have been, because you literally said her name and you mentioned
the poppy seed.
Because
I literally said Elaine, poppy seed.
Yep.
Weird.
She couldn't get that job because every time she peed or whatever, it was like, you're doing drugs, and she wasn't doing it.
Swear to God, never entered my head of making it about Seinfeld, but it was, there were just too many tendrils.
Yeah, you had all the tendrils today.
All the tendrils loosely connecting my thing with that thing.
Cornered the market on tendrils. Hey, guys. So here's the deal. I had that eye appointment yesterday.
How'd that go?
It's fine.
They find them both? They're both still there?
They're both there. They both see out of them. You know, I can perceive images and light, so it's good.
Oh, that's good.
They, of course, put in the drops and made me so I was blind for a couple hours, but it's fine. The doctor, he's an interesting dude. His name is Lyndon Tyler, which sounds like a backwards name, right?
It sounds like a president, like an alternative universe president.
Yeah.
President Lyndon Tyler, once again, vetoing the new poppy seed bagel rule.
The bagel rule. The bagel rule of 1824. Never forget it.
Yes. Now, what movie did that come from? Was that like The American President or something?
I think you just used some of what you said earlier is all. I think that's all it was.
Good.
Yeah.
That I did.
Yeah. I think that was just a throwback.
To me. Not a callback to anything else.
Well, Lyndon B. Tyler, president. No, his name is Lyndon Tyler, and he looks like a Tyler, and it looks like his last name should be Lyndon, and it bugs me that his name is flipped like that. But whatever. He's a super nice guy. I really like this dude. No knee in the groin. Sometimes I get that from an eye doctor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'm a tall guy.
Get that great clips.
Yeah.
and then I stopped paying extra for it.
Yeah. They want that extra $8 or whatever it is.
It's they do, good. Exactly. I'll take a, you make me look like Andrew Garfield with a haircut and then put a knee in the groin, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, by the way, it feels like Andrew Garfield always needs a haircut. Is it just me?
It does, doesn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
needs a haircut all the time. Never not needing one.
I envy his hair. Are you kidding me?
Oh, he's got great hair. It's just it always looks like it's on the curb of like, all right, dude, maybe check in with your stylist or whoever and get that trimmed. But totes anyway,
jelly of his hair. His hair is both amazing, spectacular, and friendly neighborhood.
Yeah, friendly neighborhood.
I couldn't come up with another superior. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
And unlike other Spider-Men, his hair is organically produced. There's no machine
right,
up there
smooshing exactly, it out. Yeah. Right. No hair shooters.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's all the Spider-Man reference you're going to get today. Anyway.
No, probably not.
So the other reason I wanted to mention this trip, everything went fine. It was all good. And I got a new prescription. It's slightly different than what it was 2 years ago. They told me some great stories about how if people don't want to wear masks at the eye doctor, they just freaking kick them out. They don't care.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. They don't give a shit. They're just like, no, see ya. Bye.
Wow.
Go do your eyes somewhere else. Cindy works there. She's a listener and she's awesome. And I just wanted to say, hey, Cindy, thanks for always a good time hanging out with you and seeing you there. So,
aww.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Hi, Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy's great. Okay. What else? Oh, big shout out today. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wanted to make this a big deal for somebody. Let me get some stuff ready here. Okay. This is a shout out for Chad Bergen.
Okay.
From his girlfriend Wendy, who spells her name like my sister does with an I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. And let's see, I want to have big celebration noise for this.
Send and receive email.
Nope, that's not it. But that's how she got with me. She sent and received an email and let me know that I think it's his birthday. Doesn't matter anyway.
Because cool.
The main thing is, hey, how about a shout out for my boyfriend? And I'm a big sucker for stuff like this. So doesn't mean...
Lazy to come up with a cover song request, huh? Okay. All right. Whatever.
Chad's awesome, though. So, Chad, I know you listen to the show every day and your girlfriend seems awesome. And I just wanted to give you a big shout out and hope you're having a blast. Okay. All right. That's for Chad.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know enough Chads. I know like three Chads.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking of this morning because your name came up.
Okay.
And it occurs to me...
You were thinking, I sure do know enough Bryans.
I do know enough Bryans.
I might not know enough Chads, but I definitely know enough.
I know a lot of Bryans, but the funny thing is I only know Bryans of a certain age and younger. I don't think there are old Bryans yet. There are no 70 to 80-year-old Bryans, are there? I feel like you're the...
But there have to be. What about Brian Brown or Brian Dennehy or...
Oh, yeah. He died, though. Let's see. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know when he died.
He died 2 years ago. Yeah. He was 81 when he died. So he was at the time an 80-year-old Brian.
So an older Brian. If it just feels like I just don't see a lot of older Brians. I know there's Brian Cox. He's older.
I really love the movie FX because it stars a Brian Brown and a Brian Dennehy.
Oh, and Brian Brown, is he the Australian guy?
He's the Australian guy. He's 74. He's old.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson's old.
79. He's a 70-year-old Brian about to become an 80-year-old Brian in about 3 months.
Well, at one point, we're going to have a bunch of old...
Wouldn't that be nice?
Tristans and old... Yeah. You know, these names that you feel like you've never seen an old person with one of those names.
Right, right.
We're heading there.
An old Zane.
Yeah. An old Zane. Can you imagine an old Zane? A guy in his 80s. Zane. It's like 85-year-old Zane Willingham up the road there.
Right.
That's
right.
A weird idea. Anyway. Well, I don't know why I got stuck on that this morning, but I was just like, yeah, do I know any older Bryans? But you're right, there's some famous ones.
I'm glad to provide you with some old Bryans. I see a few of them at the annual conventions, although, you know, last couple of years we haven't been able to go because of COVID. But
sure. Yeah, you don't want all the Bryans in one place.
I hate when they put it at the same weekend as the bald conventions, because then I can't decide which one I'm going to go to.
Like CES and the porn convention back in
exactly.
The day.
It's yeah. Like, as a matter of fact, sometimes those are the bald Bryan conventions. But...
Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference.
Sometimes kind of the it's like just a collection of big bald Bryans.
They're all over there. Hey, Brian, why are you yelling at barbecue people? What's going on? What happened there?
Well, all right, so... Yesterday, went out to Micro Center. Love Micro Center. It's like Disneyland for tech heads. But it wasn't for me. It was for Tristan because he needed to upgrade some components in his PC. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Will you go with me so that you know, you can help me talk the lingo and get what I need? I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So we actually even took the PC with us so that we could make sure we got stuff that was going to be compatible with the power supply. Cause we knew there would be some reason that things, you know, we'd, we need to say, oh, I don't know what it is. I have to come back and get it, go again to, you know, with a better list of what I need. But anyway, so we drove down there. It was getting close to dinner time. And I said, well, on the way back, why don't we swing by and get some takeout from KT's Barbecue, which is a favorite barbecue place of mine here in Colorado. So freaking good. If you live in Colorado, if you live in the Denver or Boulder area, KT's Barbecue is the jam for a state that's not known for a lot of great barbecue.
Yeah. Colorado is probably a transplant.
Kansas City. We're not Texas. We're, you know, we're Colorado.
Are they a transplant from one of these places? That's often what
happens. They are. Actually, Kirk and Trisha came from Texas. And
The KT is Kirk and Trisha. I like it.
Kirk and Trisha. Yeah. Nice. They are the nicest people, too.
Yeah.
Really, really super.
Is that so, Kevin in the chat, KT Data, is that really Kirk and Trisha Data? Is that where your name came from?
Maybe it is. Kirk and Trisha Data. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
So called Tina up, said, hey, we're going to bring home some barbecue. I'm going to stop at KT. She's like, great, cool. So we, on the way back from Microsoft, there's a really good location. It's in this little strip mall area, or like a little standalone thing with a Chipotle, a Starbucks, a Popeye's chicken, probably a T-Mobile store, and then this KT's barbecue.
Sounds good.
We pull up. Tristan and his girlfriend are like, ooh, we're going to go over to Starbucks because we want to get some drinks while you get the barbecue. Great. Yeah. No problem. As I'm getting out of the car, I see a woman standing in front of the KT's barbecue door, glass door, and she is turning and she's making eye contact with me, you know, signifying that she is going to talk to me.
Yeah.
And she's carrying a big bag of Popeye's chicken, and she looks at me and she says, now, I'm not asking for money. And I'm thinking, oh, God. All right.
I'm looking for a hand job. Can you do this?
but I just want some money to buy a rice bowl.
Uh-huh. You got chicken.
And now, I'm of all the people I know, aside from Kim, let's you know, Kim's way up here, but of all the people I know, I'm one of those that's likely, if I have some change in my pocket, or if I have a couple bucks, I'll give them to them.
Sure.
Right now, my wallet is empty. I've been, like, since COVID, I haven't needed to carry any cash, so I don't carry any cash. Like, everything's cards for me, and everything's, like, tapping my watch on the little icon of the thing, and that sort of thing.
I never do cash anymore.
So I start to reply, and I go, she's like, all right, I just want enough to buy a rice bowl. I go, I'm sorry, I don't. And that's as far as I get the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And she goes, and I'm backing up from the microphone because this was yelled at me.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
Ah, just say no. Like, to the point where Tristan and Kay were walking, and they were jolted, like jolted alert. And I'm like, okay, it's a no.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's like, all right, okay. No then. Go away, no.
Yeah. Why didn't you lead with that? Why didn't you just say, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want cash. I don't want any money, which she did.
Yeah.
It's like she already contradicted herself.
Sure.
But I'm going to ask you a question. I would just like a single word answer, please, yes or no.
Mm. Yeah.
She's really got to work on her technique.
Yeah, I agree.
So she goes off, and I'm like, oh, my God. I go into the barbecue store, and my phone then starts buzzing because both Tristan and his girlfriend Kay are texting me saying, dude, are you all right? Tristan's like, I bet that's going on TMS tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, and then Kay says, by the way, as soon as you went into the KTs, she called you an egghead bastard.
An egghead bastard.
An egghead bastard.
Awesome. You win, dude. You freaking win.
Thank you.
Yeah.
She then proceeds to go into Starbucks with her Popeye's chicken bags. She had two big bags of Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
So I don't know what or whatever Popeye's gave her. She goes into the Starbucks, into the display cases where they have like the $9 Ethos water and the $8 egg salad sandwiches that have been there since yesterday and all that stuff.
Gross.
Grabs a bunch of those, puts them in her Popeye's bag, and walks out.
Oh.
And Kay is at the counter, and she says, by the way, that lady just came in and put a bunch of stuff in her bag and just walked out. And they said, yeah, we know. It's company policy. We can't do anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like,
well,
out of safety for the employees, they can't do anything. So she may not have got her rice bowl, but she got some Ethos water, an egg salad sandwich, and apparently a bunch of Popeyes.
Yeah. And keep in mind, drugs are a very powerful drug. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
That's probably what we're witnessing there. And yeah. It's too bad, but also woof, woof. EB, you're the EB. No, wait, the B.
The EB, the Egghead Bastard.
Yeah, that's it. Egghead Bastard. Yeah,
Egghead Bastard. That's Egghead Bastardville to you, ma'am.
Are you going to start rapping under that name or something? Like the Egghead Bastard?
Yo, I'm Egghead Bastard, and I'm here to say I ain't got any cash to give you today.
That's really good. Really, really good.
Thank you. Yes.
Just kidding. All right. It's your birthday.
Go crazy. It's your Popeyes.
I'm hanging upside down. Anyway, well, that's cool.
I'm giving up because of Popeyes.
I haven't been yelled at in a while. I kind of miss public yelling. Not really, but I kind of do. Yeah. I kind of miss it because I used to get a lot of weird people on my walks and stuff. And I don't know. Seems like that's died out some. The weirdos have gone underground. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, Egghead Bastards.
Seriously, you know, if she would have been nicer, I might have actually been implied to when I was in the barbecue place to say, hey, can you also I'll buy one extra pork sandwich or barbecue sandwich, just wrap it up, foil it up, and I'll give it to the lady outside. But
yeah,
listen, she's got to attend one of these Tony Robbins seminars and work on her technique because
doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
here's my thinking. It's possible, like, she's probably on uppers of some sort, and when you're on some like hardcore meth or something, I think time seems like it slows down for everyone but you. So I think you probably came off as like, I'm sorry.
Maybe, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so she's like, no. I know Claire, she may have mental health issues. We don't freaking know.
Definitely has mental health issues.
Maybe. Yeah. We don't know.
She was yelling at cars in the Starbucks drive-thru. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But drugs can do that, is what I'm saying. Doesn't have to necessarily be like,
it doesn't have to be drugs, but it could be a combination of the two. It could be drugs and mental health.
It could
issues,
be anything.
Yeah,
which is my entire point, Claire, that we have no idea. We don't know.
She should barter. What she should do is say, all right, Chipotle, I've got Ethos water and some chicken thighs. Trade those for a rice bowl.
Yeah, but what she heard was, and she got impatient and she's like, I've had it. I gotta keep moving. This world's not gonna spin itself, she says to herself.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. Anyway,
now's time to play a game. Now that we've heard this tale of intrigue,
let's feud it up.
Yeah, I like feuding things up. If you guys want to participate at home, 801-471-0462 is the number to use, and join us now as we do it. Welcome, Brian Dunaway, to the program, as always. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian Dunaway.
We should probably explain to people why the schedule has been so weird for Play Retro this week. It's just been a little weird. We had a couple of emergencies that had to be taken care of, a change in schedule. So now we're doing it tonight.
Right.
Wait. Is this like Chinese democracy Play Retro? Like, you know.
A little bit. Feels like it, but looks like something should happen.
Monday night was one thing, and then Tuesday night was another, and it's like, I want to do this stinking show. And Scott's like, we could just bump a week. I'm like, no.
I know. Brian's dead set. It just this
it's like to talk about itself.
All these fates are just against us this week. But Audra's mom doing okay? Have you heard anything?
Yes. Yeah. She. We picked her up yesterday. That was one of the reasons why we couldn't do the show last night. We picked her up. You know how it is. Yeah. They call you if you ever had a loved one in the hospital. They always do this. You got to come pick them up now. Yeah. And you go, okay, we're getting ready. We're hurrying. Wait, don't throw them in the street. Mm-hmm. And then you get there and they're all like, yeah, they're still in the room. They're filling out paperwork. Exactly. It'll be an hour.
Right. Yeah. They're waiting for somebody to come and do the paperwork. And then you got to wait for somebody to wheel them out, even though they don't need a wheelchair. Maybe they do, but most of the time they don't. And then you got to wait for them to. Yeah, it is crazy. But it is like, oh, yeah, get here now. They must have a lot of people who are like, oh, yeah, I'll come pick them up as soon as I finish.
Yeah. The problem is
speed running Mario 3.
Right. The problem is over time you kind of learn to just like ignore what they say, and so you're like going, it'll be an hour. We'll get there when we get there, and then somebody does show up on time, and then you get that phone call. Nobody wants that phone call.
Nope. Yeah. It's just like Kim when she had her babies. They took forever for everything. They were like, "Yeah, we'll be out of here in 10 minutes."
I love how you say
litter.
when Kim had her babies.
Yeah,
like
her babies.
Her babies.
You know.
So inconvenient right now. Look, having they, your babies.
They came out of her water slide, not mine. I'm just saying. just kidding. Hey, yeah, check it out.
You lifted that water slide up, my friend. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I like a good summer water slide.
You'll be,
what I'm saying.
You'll be surprised at how much of this comes back up in today's feud.
Wonderful. Let's find out who's been holding very patiently on the line for us. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's David from the Kwame line.
Well, hello, David. Did you say New York?
Hello again. Yeah, New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You cut out a little bit. Yeah, but you're
cut you off a lot there. So, David from New York, and you said who you are in the chat room?
Quantum Feline.
Quantum
Feline. Feline. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a quantum level.
It's a, like a Schrodinger's cat reference, right? Or no?
Yeah, that's the reference.
There you go. All right. Well, it's good to have you here. Yeah. We're thrilled to have you as our potential winner today, depending on how all this goes. Well, Brian will explain the rules.
Quantum Feline has both won and lost. We just need to play out the game to find out which it is.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're
both simultaneously won the game and lost the game. We just need to figure out which it is.
You're as a binary outcome to this. Only you can decide.
Yeah,
exactly. So Brian will explain the rules and how this works. Brian, take it away.
Yeah, it's time to open the box and play the Tadpooley feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics. Scott and Brian are going to have to predict the answers that they gave us. And it's their job to see how many of those answers they can guess. David, you're going to be working with one of these guys. So guess what? Your role is even more important than it is in the other silly games we play on this show. If your team wins, you get a prize package that includes The Survivalists and Greek, Memories of Azure. But Greek is spelled G-R-E-A-K. Greek. Greek?
Yeah, we played that one not too long ago for the Boop Show.
Did we? I don't remember.
I enjoyed it.
I don't remember that one. You must have covered that. I don't remember playing it.
I did that one, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of funny that only one of you remembers a game called Memories of Azure.
Yeah.
Memories of Azure. You remember?
One of you won the game and one of you lost the game, clearly.
Yeah. Never played it. KT Data likes it? All right. And we must have liked it, or you must have liked it. Yeah. I don't know why I never played it.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. I think I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10 or something like that. It was a team 17 joint.
Like them. Yeah. They make good games. Except they're doing some stuff I don't like right now. But anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, continue. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it later. It's dumb. Oh.
All right. Well, let's get to your game, shall we?
Yeah.
So we asked the Tadpool. 595 of them responded, but 33 of them couldn't be arsed to come up with an answer. hands on buzzers. Give me your answer to this. This is, we asked the Tadpool, what is your favorite pop culture sword? Right.
That was pretty fast.
Scott, I'm Chode Burner.
Pretty good.
I'm going to say the Arthas's sword. I feel like they've got a lot of that in our crowd. So
what's that called, Scott?
It's called, my brain's a little dead. Hold on. It's Frostmourne.
All right. Show me Frostmourne. Number 6, 5 answers will beat it. Brian, what did the Tadpool say is their favorite pop culture sword?
Excalibur, right? I mean, is there anything more?
Is that your question or your answer?
Did I hear the question right? Pop culture sword?
Pop culture sword. Okay, all right. Excalibur is what you say. You say, show me Excalibur. Throw it right back into the lake.
Oh, number 2.
Number 2 answers. So, Brian.
This lady.
Damn.
You have control of the board. You're going to be playing with David, of course. David, Brian, what do you got?
All right.
David, are you a sword guy? Kind of into swords?
I mean, of course, but I
Ooh. How's it looking, the tunnel there?
What's that?
super choppy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. I think it feels like it was just cutting out, like it was doing voice cutout or something. But
yeah, walk towards the light, Carol Ann.
Yeah, you're good.
How about the Master Sword?
Nope. There you go.
Oh, that's a good one. Dang it.
Show me that Master Sword Link is waving around. Number 3 answer on the board.
Pretty sure you just did Mario. It's totally fine that you did Mario.
I did Mario. I was actually trying to do. I was trying to do the little fairy that floats around.
That's. I forget the name of that twinkly little turd. I hate that thing.
Yeah,
twinkly little turd.
Yeah,
twinkly little turd.
Yeah, played base for
him. Does it blink?
Does it blink? Hey, pick a sword, damn it! You're still winning here. What do you want?
You can't.
What's
back off?
Popular than those two?
Yeah, what's bigger? What? I mean, not that you're aiming for number one.
There's a lot of swords I can think of, but all of them are like, I don't know what that sword is called. And I'm kind of thinking...
What are you thinking of?
I'm kind of thinking that, and I'm also thinking, oh, well, people say some BS, like...
For the record, I wouldn't have, like, buzzed Scott if he wouldn't have been able to come up with Frostmourne for Arthas's sword. I would have accepted sword, yeah.
Okay, all right. Man.
You can probably tell me the sword and who wielded it, and I'd be fine with that.
Why don't you just tell me what sword you're looking for?
I'm going to say, even though it's probably not on here, I like He-Man sword. Yeah, actually, I thought that's what he was talking about when he said Master Sword at first.
I don't know what it's called, but...
Yeah, what is that called? I held aloft this magic sword.
Yeah, this magic sword. I'm going with this magic sword.
This magic sword.
Right.
All right, show me.
Name, and it's actually two swords in one. But that's... I can't remember the stupid name.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, show me this magic sword.
Oh,
number 10, it is called the Power Sword. Yeah.
The Power Sword. That's so dumb. What a dumb name.
The Power.
It wouldn't be dumb if it had been your answer.
Yeah. It is better because I wouldn't have known it either, but that's such a dumb name. Power Sword.
Yeah. Power Sword.
As opposed to what? The Master Sword? Yeah, that's a winner.
Well, it's the Master Sword. It's like there are several swords beneath it. This one is the sword that is the master of those swords.
That's right.
But Power Sword, the power to swish through the air.
Yeah.
What is its power?
Yeah.
I mean, David, it turns him into He-Man.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Hey, David, or Skeletor. Hey, David, what do you think the Tadpool's going to say? Something stupid? Like a lightsaber?
Lightsaber is a sword. That's definitely a laser sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go with, do we have to be specific or is it?
Lightsaber is probably...
I'm going with the lightsaber.
Because, I mean, if you need to be more specific, I'll say something like,
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Show me a lightsaber. Yeah, number one. Most people just put lightsaber, but a few people. The most common lightsaber mentioned was Mace Windu's purple one.
Really?
Yeah.
So in people's minds about the dark saber or nothing like that. People not thinking about that one right now.
Are you saying the dark saber's included in that, or is that a
I don't know.
Oh my god! Oh, you're making it worse.
I would say the dark saber is not a lightsaber. I will say that.
Opposite.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That makes it worse.
That's the whole idea. Yeah.
Oh.
What's it gonna be?
Yeah, what's it gonna be, Dave? You got any more? Do you have anything else?
Right, what about the sword, Lord of the Rings, Aragorn's sword?
You should do Frodo's.
Is it Andoril?
Oh, Stinger.
We got Stinger. We have Andoril's sword, or the sword Andoril, which is like forged.
That's the one that was in. That was the one in pieces when.
Shards of crystal or something.
Some assembly required.
That's a good question. Then what do you think?
Sting is a good one too. Sting is a cool sword.
Sting is cool,
and it's easy to remember.
Which one's at top? I don't know. You want to make the call? Or you want me to make a call?
I think Sting sounds interesting. I like Sting.
Yeah, Sting. Do Sting.
Yeah, let's sting it. Sting it.
If you love this answer, set it free. Show me Sting. Number 7.
Hey.
Yes.
I think that gives him an auto win, doesn't it?
Let's see. 17 tough. Plus 9, 26. He can still win.
Barely could win. Okay.
You have to run the board.
Yeah, if you get one more and you get it right, if you get 8 or 9 right, I'm screwed.
Yeah, if you do 4 or 5, still open, keeps the window open for Scott, but 8 or 9 closes it, slams it shut.
Right. Do we want to fall back to Andril? Do you want to go back to that?
I mean, if Lord of the Rings seems popular enough, let's get out of the shot. We already have it.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. I agree. I'm with you.
Andril? Okay.
Is that how you say it? How do you say it?
I say
Andril.
All right.
You say Advil?
Something totally different.
Take a couple of Advil and call me in the morning.
Show me Advil. All right. Show me Andril, Flame of the West. Yeah. Or Aragorn, yes. Aragorn's sword from the Lord of Rings.
All right, there we go.
I think that might lock Scott out. So that gives us 18 left plus 6. Yeah, you guys have won this. There's still four answers on the board.
I think it's time to use some bullshit answers.
Zero strikes for anybody, which is crazy.
I think it's time to bring some bullshit. How about...
You guys know your S-words, man.
How about we go with Voltron's sword? What is that thing called? You know when they merge together and
who has that sword when they're all separate? Who's the keeper of the sword part?
They summon it. Though.
They summon it.
Or something, yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. I like Voltron, but
I think you're right.
I like Voltron a lot, but whenever I try to explain Voltron in my own head, it never goes anywhere well. Good. So,
do you prefer the 13 ships or just the 5 lions?
I like the 5 lions. But right. I think
five
I'm biased.
Classic.
Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah,
but the ships are cool too. It's not look yeah. that whole yeah, yeah. the Voltron universe. Lions. It's pretty badass. It's pretty good.
Lions for me for sure.
Yeah, the lions.
All right, so you guys are saying the Blazing Sword from Voltron.
The Blazing Sword.
All right, show me that one. Nope.
No.
Only one person in the tadpole said the Blazing Sword from Voltron.
It was probably me. Did I do that one?
Maybe you did that one. Yeah. Scott, let's, you know, you've got three answers up here. You could, you certainly can't win, but you can at least, you know.
Play.
Okay, let's try Gandalf's sword. I'd stay in the Lord of the Rings. Uh-huh. What's that called?
That's just kind of smart.
Glimmer, something. Oh, was it
Glimmering or something?
Yeah, like Glimmer. That's closer. Glimmer.
Oh, Glamdring. Sure.
Glamdring. That's it.
Glamdring.
Yeah, and he's on the horse sword out there in the third movie, going roar, or whatever.
All right.
I go with that.
Show me Glamdring.
Oh, I feel good about that.
You guys don't know a cool sword if it poked you in the butt.
8 people said that. It put it at number 15 in our list.
I think we need to go back with the Darksaber. It kind of implies
I forgot. Basically, we didn't use it even though we talked about it.
Yeah. What do you think?
It made its appearance in Mandalorian, so.
Yeah.
Sure. Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Mandalorian. All right, show me
the first season.
Plenty of time.
Plenty
of time.
All right, show me the Darksaber. Strike 2. People said it. It was number. Where is it? It's low on the list. Yeah, surprisingly low on the list for.
I do like that you split it out. I do like to make that extensive decision.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Number 29, Darksaber. 2 people said it.
All right.
We know it's still a lightsaber. I know it's a Darksaber. We know it's still a lightsaber.
Is it? Isn't it the opposite?
Does
it still use a Kyber crystal?
It's like going margarine's not butter.
It does still use a Kyber crystal, doesn't it?
Technically, you're right, but you know what I'm talking about when I say margarine.
Yeah, I do. It's a butter substitute. I get it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I feel you. All right. I'm gonna go with the Sword of Gryffindor. Let's see if that made it.
Sure.
It's one of the.
All right. Show me the Sword of Gryffindor.
Boo.
That one did also make it on the list. Number 23. 4 people said that one.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, those 4 people are my friend. I love them.
Yeah, they are. Dave, do you have another one?
Okay.
Yeah, I got the Cloud Sword from Final Fantasy VII.
That's a good one.
I was just trying to think of. Yes,
that ridiculous plywood block of sword.
Yeah. Yes.
Thing's a beast. It's amazing.
All right. Show me Cloud's Buster Sword.
Yes!
Number 4. 49 people said that one.
Wow. Yeah. All right. You guys are killing it.
All right. 2 answers left.
5.
What does the tadpole like for swords?
I only thing I can see left in my head is the sword in Kill Bill. That's the only sword I can see left in my head when I'm going through all the references. But what's it called?
Uma
Thurman's sword.
Uma Thurman's sword. Let's call it that. Let's call it Uma Thurman's sword.
All right, sure.
All right. Show me the bride's sword from Kill Bill.
Oh, good job.
It is number 11. It was the next. It would have been the next
one. Oh, really? 11?
It is
wow.
called the Hattori Hanzo sword. That's a katana. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the only people I can see holding aloft their mighty swords in my head. Yeah. That's yep. all I got.
All right. Well, Scott, two answers left.
All right. Let's see if I can at least get these. There's the Sword of Damocles.
Damocles.
Sword of Damocles. There it's an old Greek story, poem, myth sword.
That's right. Like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's right.
Is what that is.
It floated. Okay. It was cool. It's a very cool sword.
It is a cool sword. Is it on the list?
Yeah.
No, not even. I guess probably not pop culture enough, but it is a great sword.
Hercules didn't have a sword. But wait, Conan had a sword. What was that stupid
Conan
thing
did have a sword. It was called the Atlantean.
The Atlantean
sword, I believe.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Sword?
Yeah, Atlantean sword. It was number 14 in the list. The Atlantean sword is Conan's sword. Conan's sword. Conan hosts
Conan's sword. Right.
It bums me out that those two have a different pronunciation of C-O-N-A-N. Listen, agree on one. I want either Conan O'Brien or I think Conan, they should Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. I think you should fight to the death.
Yeah, why I not? Agree. I agree. All right, let's see what the remaining two on here. This is what I'm kind of surprised you guys didn't mention. It is Connor McLeod's katana from the Highlander.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Damn it. Did it have a name other than his McLeod's katana?
No, I looked for that one, and it was the places I found it was just called Connor McLeod's katana.
That's two clouds in one list. We got clouds.
That is one right after the other. It's really interesting.
McLeod and cloud
distinction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
And then lastly, this is one I never would have expected to be on the list higher than the bride's sword in Kill Bill for sure. It is the Sword of Omens. It should be Sword of Omens with an S.
Thundercats. Gosh dang it.
Thundercats, of course. My God, how did I forget that one?
He-Man, not Thundercats.
Thunder.
Yeah, it's the one that came apart. It was that was the two-part sword, right?
No, He-Man was a two-part sword as well.
Was it? Really? I don't remember He-Man having two parts to his big dumb sword. Maybe he did.
Scott.
I don't know. Look, my He-Man knowledge is skin deep. All right. It's not real good. It's not great. I know there's some guy named Two Man. He's pretty great. I like that guy.
Two Man.
Yeah. And I think Skeletor is a badass. Other than that, it's all shit.
Got that clip of you doing He Man? I remember you got that.
I held my mighty sword aloft and I have power, whatever.
And
is.
Said, bullshit, or whatever I did.
My stupid tiger.
Rawr.
Yeah, it's a weird thing for me, that show. All right, so well done is the point. You win. You win.
Yeah, the point of that sword is you won. Yeah. Congratulations, David. Yeah. You are going to get these two awesome games. Mm-hmm. Send me an email at covervillage@gmail.com, and I'll get you your links. In the meantime, let's tell you guys what some of these other ones were. Long Claw and Needle, both from Game of Thrones.
Needle. Yes, of course. Needle.
Surprised that one wasn't a little bit higher. Also from Lord of the Rings, we had Orcrist, which was Gimli's? No, it was somebody else's sword was Orcrist. The Bat'leth, I don't know if I'd say it's a sword. What? It's a weapon, but it's...
I mean, it's swordish.
Seven people felt like it was a sword.
It had blade. I mean, it's all covered in blades, but it's more like a sickle or like a... Not a sickle, like a... You would hold it like a staff, but then it's curved blades. I don't know. Maybe it works.
Jay Funcastic points out Connor had a samurai sword, not a katana. That is correct. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Thunder Fury from WoW came up. The energy sword from Halo. Inigo Montoya's rapier from Princess Bride.
I actually thought about rapier, but I was like, who had one? I can't think of it.
Yeah. Gunblade from Final Fantasy VII. Ice, also from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I think it was Jon Snow's.
With the wolf head on it?
No, that was not. No. It was later. The one that was built out of
Longclaw was Jon Snow's.
The one that was built with dragon ice or whatever.
Ned's was ice. Okay. Yeah.
Ned's.
The Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts, which is the most awkward looking sword ever, but. Good for you.
It's a giant effing key is why.
Stormbringer.
Yeah.
The Sword in the Stone, the Sword of a Thousand Truths, Ashbringer, Darksaber, Ishigo's Sword, Masamune, the Atari Sword. I don't know what that is.
Oh.
The tally's killing me. The dildo sword from Saints Row. It's really a weapon in the game. Like that
Wasn't
game.
There also one from one of the Jay and Silent Bob movies? Wasn't there a dildo sword?
Was there? Well? I don't remember that.
I want to say that somebody had a, like it was the dildo saber or something, and it went ring instead of.
Wow.
Yeah, either that or that was a dream.
The one in that game is ridiculous.
Oh, just, the bong saber. That's right. That's what it was.
It was a bong lightsaber. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Somebody said the coal glaive, yeah. Not a sword. Let's see, Lion-O's sword from Thundercats, Michonne's katana. Yeah, the rest of these are. Oh, the Schwartz ring, which is from Spaceballs.
Yes, I thought about that, but that's not really a sword.
One person said it, so good you didn't choose that.
Yeah. So hold on a second. Yeah, what was the. What was the one you said right before that? Shoot, now I forgot.
Oh, there's the Kroll glaive.
The glaive. Yeah, the glaive literally is a glaive, you guys. It's not
right,
a sword.
Exactly, it is.
They call it a glaive for a reason. It's literally a glaive, which is its own thing. You know what? Maybe the Vulcan. The Batleth is basically a big halved glaive because it is kind of circular until it isn't, right?
Yeah, but you don't throw. I think of a glaive as something you throw, like a Chinese star, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, no, the glaive for sure is a glaive. Totally different. But could I chuck...
Oh, that's different from the... Wait. Okay, hold on.
Could I throw a Klingon batleth, is what I'm saying. And
have right. Glaive used it. It was a slashing weapon, right?
But you know, I was confusing the Krull glaive with the little throwing deal from Krull, with the little points on it, the circular little throwing deal.
That's the glaive, right? Isn't that the glaive?
I'm looking up glaive, and glaive is like a staff.
A three-edged.
A staff with points on the end, the blades on the end.
That is totally not what I thought a glaive was then.
A European pole arm consisting of a single-edged blade on the end of a pole.
Oh.
I had no idea.
I thought it was a glaive. I think they did call it a glaive in Krull.
I did too. Yeah. It had like three blades on it, right? And you could use it as a slashing weapon, or you could throw it.
Right. I freaking don't know now. Now that you told me a glaive is an around weapon, I don't even know what to make of anything.
Yeah,
if you go to
glaive on Wikipedia, it says the term glaive is used in the science fiction fantasy film Krull to refer to a thrown weapon,
even though
similar to the chakram or the hunga munga, which can return to the thrower much like a boomerang. I've never heard of a hunga munga.
I haven't either, but I've heard of a chakram. Chakrams are normal.
Wouldn't you hate to die from a hunga munga? That would be the worst.
A hunga munga.
What about Sulu's fencing sword? I want that to be on there. Did it have a name?
Yeah, shirtless Sulu's.
Yeah, they call it the shirtless Sulu is what that sword's called.
Yeah, the shirtless Sulu.
MacGuffin was a sword too, wasn't it? Like the original MacGuffin.
Oh, was it? No way, really? I'd love that. If that's true, I love that.
I want to see the history of it. Was let's see. Hold on. The Holy Grail was a MacGuffin. Alfred Hitchcock.
Here we go.
No, MacGuffin. I guess it's.
What is a MacGuffin? Yeah. It just talks about movie stuff, but it doesn't say where it's.
You know the. You know what? It was the MacGuffin. Was the. The sword in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was an example of a MacGuffin, and that's probably what I'm connecting it to.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. Well, there you have it. Yeah. MacGuffins, they're great. Well done.
That
oh, I didn't
long.
Play.
We did
the,
good.
The tradition is this.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Congratulations there, Dave. May New York truly be grateful for having you in it and being the big winner that you are. reminder, I know Brian already told you, but coverville@gmail.com is where you're going to want to send that. And congratulations, man. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, have a great week. We'll see you later. All right, there goes Dave. Dave's out of here. Dave's not here, man. So tonight, 3:30 Mountain Time. Looks like it'll... No, I'm sorry, 4 o'clock Mountain Time because I have DTNS that goes a little long. So we're starting about a half an hour later than normal. But we are doing Play Retro today. It's happening. Okay?
It's happening.
So get your Hexen. Heretic to Hexen to Hexen 2 hats on because we're about to go post-Doom on your ass. All right?
Whoa. Hurt me plenty.
Hurt me plenty. Brian Dunaway, anything else you want to say or mention?
That's about it. I just trying to make it day by day. So what's my plans? We're just Playing it by ear.
Play it by ear, baby. We'll see you later. All right.
All right.
There he goes. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from this break, we'll talk to Tom Merritt about the Daily Tech News headlines of the day, as well as Randy Jordan, who will join us and explain why he likes Sex and the City so much.
Right? Oh, he's got you got some splaining to do.
A little bit of splaining. Also recommendal, so stick around for that.
That's right.
Although I love his file. When he sends me his file, says Randy Wreck, and it's just kind of a cool name. The Randy Wreck.
Randy Wreck.
Yeah.
Randy Wreck. I spell it all out. Brian Recommendal 1, MP3.
Yeah. You're very studious or duteous, yeah, or whatever the word is I'm looking
for. I'm a studious duteous. I get bastard.
Oh, my Lord. All right. We're going to take a break. Let's do it. Let's play a song. What do you got?
This one coming to us from Coal Mine Records. A guy named M. Ross Perkins. He's got his sophomore studio album, which is called E Pluribus M. Ross. Comes out March 18th. You're going to want to get it because this is some solid power pop. This is the kind of stuff I really dig. He's from Dayton, Ohio. And this is great stuff. M. Ross Perkins, and the song I'm going to be playing for you is called Mr. Marble Eyes.
Oh, I love that name. It's almost better than Egghead Bastard. All right, here it is. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned.
Department making offers on the captain's OBOs. Marbles for his eyes, ooh, he's got the vision. Oh yeah, so he doesn't have to see just what he knows. How'd it come to be? It's such fantastic eyes to see what can't be seen. Oh, I don't know where he got them. You see, you're asking me, and as far as I can see, this could be just a fantasy. But he's got these godforsaken marbles for his eyes, and I can't tell why.
Upgrade the world together. will you upgrade your world?
But look, here's Topol.
The Morning Stream, where man is made whole.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back. That song once again.
That song was M. Ross Perkins and the song Mr. Marbleize from his upcoming album E Pluribus M. Ross. So good.
Very
I also
nice.
Like that song you just played to come out of the song like that.
Oh,
it feels
business.
Like that's a church's song that doesn't have any lyrics.
It's I can tell you who this is. This is White Bat Audio, who does a bunch of really great public domain sort of like synth music. And he's
so good.
Very good. You can find him on YouTube, and I think he's on Spotify and Apple Music and all that as well. He's great. Sam Jane in there confirming he's awesome. Yeah. All right. There you go. There's that. What now? Oh, I know.
Well, time for a little Tom.
Yeah. Let's have a little Tom.
Man.
If I can find him. There he is. Okay. Let's bring him on in here and see what we can get done. Here's his intro.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt, and he's joining us like he does every Wednesday to hit the big headlines around tech right here on TMS. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the show.
Get him. I just heard him hit some of those headlines.
I know.
He's got another one, Brian.
Did you hear that? he's a rough tumbler, but
knocking headlines out of the sky.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
I know it sounds violent, but the headlines, I promise you feel no pain.
Oh, okay, good. No, that's good to know because, you know, do no harm.
No headlines were harmed in the making
the
of
podcaster's code after.
Yeah, podcaster's code. Do no harm. Hey, Tom, it's good to have you back. Of course, always fun to have you on a Wednesday. I'm always surprised how Wednesdays, at least in the last couple of years, seem to get some crazy breaking stories. Is today one of those days?
I mean, define crazy.
let's say something you didn't see coming, totally unexpected. Wow, can't believe that happened today. News.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything quite like that. There are some minor surprises. Google is going to do an ad thing that is going to upset Facebook. So, kind of saw that coming.
Okay. Is it similar to what Apple did to them? Because they're already mad about that.
Oh, it's going to be like a cracking down on third-party permissions on Android. You know, that horrible crime of trying to encourage users to have control over whether their data is shared or not.
Do you think,
rather than by default?
Do you think they're over blaming? So there was just a lot of talk after that earnings report, and there was that big dip in stock price, and kind of had a rough one there. There was a lot of talk like, well, this is just because of that, because Apple changed the thing, and you know, now it's messing up their ad revenue. Is that true, or is this a scapegoat? Is it a, like, if you had to have a hot Tom take on that, what would you say?
It depends on your business. If your business is more diversified, such as Google's ad business, it's something you can deal with.
Yeah.
You know, you don't love it. Anything that makes your business harder, you don't love, but you've got other options that seem to be quite profitable. If you are an advertiser yourself, it's a little more challenging. You can't get that big pop that you used to get. If you're an up-and-coming advertising company like Amazon is, it is an opportunity to say like, we know that you're losing this one easy avenue, but we've got great technology. Come advertise with us because we're a first party advertiser as well, which means we can put your stuff right in front of people shopping for spoons or whatever you're shopping for on Amazon.
Yeah.
But if you're Facebook, who has built most of your business on sharing third party data, it's hard. I feel for them. I feel for them, Scott.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those billions are turning from three digits to sometimes two.
Yeah, oh my gosh, really? Only 2 billion in the billions. So it is a weird thing where I feel like they would like people to be sympathetic to the problem, but I have a hard time being sympathetic to it because I like having the control over where I get tracked and where I don't. So,
listen, Facebook wants you to think of them as Bob Facebook, who's just trying to help the small businesses. But if you think about it as like, this is a very big company that wants to make as much money as possible. Well, of course, they're going to try to convince you of like something that will help them move the needle in their advantage. They are going to take out full page ads as they did a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. But you are probably more partial to you than you are to them.
Oh, yeah.
Or unless you're a small business owner directly suffering, probably more partial to your own business than to some other nameless small business out there. So, you know, it was a good attempt for Facebook to kind of wrap themselves up in the cloak of protecting the little guy. I'm not sure how effective it was because of what you said.
Yeah, I don't think it worked at all. That's what I'm going to say. Nice job, Facebook. All right. Yeah. Well, so that's a thing.
Also, Meta is apparently now referring to its employees as MetaMates.
Oh, shucks. Really? Ooh.
Yeah.
MetaMates.
Okay, so I have to go hang out with some of those people.
Walmart has associates. Meta has MetaMates.
I have to go hang out with some Meta employees in VR in the next couple of days. And when I do, will it be bad if I say, hey, MetaMates, how y'all doing in here? They're going to hate it.
I asked my my sister-in-law works for Facebook, and I said, so do I have to call you MetaMate? She's like, where did you hear that? And I pointed her to the protocol article, and she's like, no, you don't have to call me.
You don't have to call me. In fact, please don't call me that. That's interesting. I guess, you know, whatever. You've got people in all sorts of places come up with fun nicknames for themselves, but usually when it comes from the top down, I don't know if it is or isn't, but when it does.
Yeah, Disney has cast members, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, Disney.
It's a lot better than MetaMates, though.
I'm not sure about MetaMates.
MetaMates sounds like a store, a toy that we were like, yeah, Metamucil, a toy brought to you by Metamucil. They tried to get us to buy in the
80s. I was saying it sounded kind of like something you'd pick up at a pharmacy. Alan Char wrote me. He's like, it's because it sounds like Meta, M-E-D-I.
Oh, MetaMates.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, do you have your MetaMate card? We can save you $15 on your visit. Yeah.
Which actually probably is true.
Yeah, that actually probably exists.
If you're a Meta employee, you probably do get some pharmacy discount somewhere.
Well, so there you go. We'll talk about that, of course, at some length and many other
actually,
topics.
Yeah, we got a big one today. Scott's going to talk on DTNS. We've talked about this a little bit on GDI before, but we're going to talk on DTNS about NFTs and art fraud, something that directly affects Scott.
Yeah.
Scott loves these. Like, Scott loves to talk about this, so it should be good.
Yeah, I do, actually. I think it's a big, especially from an artist's perspective.
You do love to talk about it. You don't like it. But
I don't like it at all.
You don't love the fraud. You just love the talk.
Yeah, the fraud sucks, but there is some, like, some crazy numbers released in the last couple of weeks about, you know, level of fraud and what these places are doing about it, which is good to see some of the movement on that front. So we'll talk about all that stuff, all angles of it. I'm looking forward to it. As someone who's actually been approached numerous times by people saying they minted my artwork and would like me to buy it back from them, I have some thoughts. So we'll see.
Which I have, and when we talked about it on GDI before, I have said, like, a lot of those aren't real. A lot of those are phishing attempts. Yeah. Good platforms will drive out the bad stuff. But what we're going to talk about today is the fact that there don't seem to be any safe platforms right now.
Not at the moment.
Maybe there will be someday, but right now the platforms are experiencing the same phenomena that social networks experience with moderation. They're overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So you ban one and three more show up is kind of the problem they're having. So we'll get to all that and talk about it at length today on the Daily Tech News Show. Tom, anything else going on?
Yeah, dailytechnewsshow.com/live if you want to watch that later today on our Twitch channel. Or you can always get everything on demand, and I send you a newsletter every week where you can respond to me and ask me questions about the stuff I talk about. This Friday, I think I'm going to talk about how a few of my tweets went viral in portions of the K-pop universe.
Oh.
And how I've dealt with that and how it makes me happy and scared, but mostly happy.
Yeah.
So get that freetomnewsletter.com.
I did it something once that was semi-viral with BTS fans, and I thought I might die at the end of it. I thought I might be killed. It was really something. Those guys are, they are the stands hardcore among stands, man.
A lot of love, though. Like, it's 99% lots of love.
99% love, but don't ever say anything remotely. And that even just on the surface seems to be like, maybe I don't love BTS. Oh, man.
Well, James Corden found that out, too.
Yeah, he found out the hard way. Tom Merritt, I look forward to seeing you the easy way today. Daily Tech News Show today, 2:30 Mountain Time. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye now.
Bye.
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 Bye, Tom Merritt. All right. If anyone's worried, I'm just going to rant. I'm not. We're going to get into like the actual gristle of that world and what's going on in it.
Yeah, which is good. Which is a good. It's good for people to know that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you
know?
I mean, OpenSea is saying they're even admitting like 80% of their NFT stuff is fraud right now.
Wow,
like that's really bad.
Yeah, it is really bad.
It's really horrendous.
Yeah.
When your whole job is to facilitate the trade and purchase of NFTs, and you can only guarantee that 20% are legit, like what is going on? All right, let's get Randy all up in it, inside of it. Yeah. Because that's where he belongs, damn it, is right up inside of it.
What will Randy's level be today? 14 out of 10 or 22 out of 10?
I'll give it a caffeine factory out of its whole industry. That's what I think we'll get today. All right, let's find out when we push this button. Hey, look who it is. It's Randy Jordan, a.k.a. Randy Deluxe, joining us for Recommendals. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Stream. How are you? I'm doing very well. I'm only into the beginning of my second cup of coffee, but I did something today that really excites me. Some time ago, like last year, I cut down the amount of sugar I put in my coffee by like 2/3. So like I started using a third of a tablespoon instead of like the whole tablespoon of sugar. And today I decided to see what happens. Like, what did that used to be like? What was it like back when I used to go full on sugar? And I try that today. I'm not going to do it again, but it was very interesting.
Well, it's nice once in a while. You got to go back to your roots. I get it. Totally fine.
So you said you're just starting your second cup. How many ounces is your cup? Is it like one of those, I got this at a convenience store cup to hold my...
I don't like big coffee mugs because your coffee gets cold too fast. I don't drink it so fast that I could get through it.
Yeah.
So mine is it's a typical, like, if you filled it up to the brim...
probably.
No. Coffee mug, like if you fill it up to the brim, it's like 10 ounces.
It's a mug.
A normal mug. You're a mug man. That's what you are.
Well, like our TMS mugs and our FilmSack mugs are 14
those
ounces.
Are big. Those are pretty big.
Those would hold like 14 ounces to all the way to the rim, but you don't fill it up that high. But, I have a lot of coffee mugs, and it's really sad to me because, like, you can't use them. I have like 100 coffee mugs. You cannot use it. I use two.
I have a ton. I use one. I use this Ember right here, which has a little base and charges it and keeps my coffee at 135 degrees all damn morning long.
Yep. That's the way
I got a really fun Ember mug from a giveaway at work, and it's just a little bit of a pain in the ass, right? So like I kind of like having my standard, non-electrified mug. But I was going to say, like, on the other hand, my favorite mug that I ever had, I found in Hawaii on the Big Island at a restaurant, and I bought two of them when I was there. I bought two of them because I just had a feeling like I'm going to fall in love with this mug and I'm going to hate myself if I break it. And I did. And so I had a backup. So that's why I have so many mugs. That right there.
There's a lesson there. Always have redundancy in all of your parts of your life. You know, if you think you're going to shit your pants, have two pairs of pants. That's what I say.
True.
Yeah.
All right. It's good to have you here. We're going to do recommendals. This is where we recommend stuff we saw on streaming services of some sort or another. We'll recommend them here and then tell you guys where you can get them. So stick around for that. Hey, Brian, let's start with you. You got two today. What do you want to start with?
Yeah, we're going to start off with the first one is a film. This is a newer film. And the subtitle of this film could have been called Angry British Whispering. But they kept it short for the title. So let's see what this is.
All right.
William told me before we came here he didn't want to shoot guns.
I want to talk because someone said something about clothes.
Will he be all right?
Yes, of course he'll be all right. Your dresser said something about clothes.
I mean, will he be safe?
It's perfectly safe. You wear protective glasses.
How can it be safe if you have to wear protective glasses?
Yesterday, you arrived after the Queen.
I got lost.
Oh, how could you get lost? You've lived over the hill for years.
It looks different now. Everything looks different.
You sure you went late yesterday because you were delayed by someone?
Someone?
I just thought someone might have delayed you.
No. Sometimes you get delayed by someone. No one says anything. It's perfectly acceptable for you to be delayed by someone.
How can you ask if it's safe? It's a tradition.
These some British ass people. What's going on?
They are some British ass people. Actually, it's one British ass person and an American person pretending to be a British ass person, both talking about affairs that caused them to be delayed by someone. That is Spencer. That is you're hearing Kristen Stewart doing a really good job at not just, you know, faking a British accent, but also sounding a lot like Diana, Princess Diana. This movie is about the Princess Diana, kind of 4 days in the life of Princess Diana, centering around Christmas in 1991. So this is, you know, Charles is already sleeping with Camilla. She's been messing around as well, but she's also kind of trying to get out of this whole life of the being in the royal family. Some of this stuff in the movie is dramatization based on speculation. It's called a historical fiction psychological drama because, you know, you need four words to describe a movie these days.
Of course.
But it is, so there's a lot of question about, and there was a lot of, you know, kind of announcement when this movie was released that it was, hey, this is historical fiction. It's based on some accounts from staff and workers at, among the royal family, but we can't corroborate some of this stuff to be sure.
Is she good? She looks like, keep hearing she's amazing.
She is amazing. She does a really good job. Like, this will make you forget she was in that sparkly vampire movie series.
Great.
She, as a matter of fact, was nominated or has been nominated for the Academy Award for this role because she does such a good job. And it's the only, I think it's the only award. There's probably like a, no, I take that back. There's not even a costume or production design or anything. The only award this is nominated for is Best Actress for Kristen Stewart.
Nice.
And make no mistake, she's great in it. Yes, yeah. Randy.
So why is it? Why isn't it more highly rated? Like, why didn't this movie get any more nominations? Why
I think
is it?
because it's a period piece in a year where there are a ton of period pieces. I feel like this easily could get lost in the shuffle of those. Kind of the same reason I feel like The Last Duel didn't get any nominations. It's a really, really good movie, but it kind of disappears among all these other movies that kind of look like it.
I can see that. I just like, yeah. I looked this up on Rotten Tomatoes and I'm like, okay, it's 84% with the critics. I guess that's not too bad. Whoa, 50% with the audience. What?
Oh, why? Really? I didn't know that. That's surprising.
And then over on, it's, you know, on Amazon, if you wanted to go rent it. Mm-hmm. On Amazon, it's like 54%.
Interesting. You know, I feel like I lean more towards the critical scores on this. I feel like it's an 80% is a good solid score for me on this one. It's excellent. It is a lot more. I like movies, biopics that focus on a short period of time. That's what I really liked about Being the Ricardos, is that it focuses on 1 week, this week when Lucille Ball got accused of being communist. I don't need to see them, you know, wearing weird distracting makeup to make them look young and then weird distracting makeup to make them look old. Focus on 3 or 4 days in the life of this character that really defined who they are. And this one at times makes Diana look like she's losing her grip on reality. A lot of the stuff in here, her dealings with her sons and her dealings with the royal family. This is the time that she was bulimic and she was, you know, trying to maintain a weight for the queen, but also on her own, just throwing up and even at one point, I think it was established that she threw herself down the stairs, to get out of the marriage with Charles. That's not shown in this, but you kind of get, it feels like it's in this same time period.
I have another question. Why did we used to like biopics that used a lot of makeup to make someone look old? Amadeus is a great example, right?
We still like them.
I think we still like them if they're done well. I just like the short ones.
I like them. I don't mind them if they're drawn out. One of my favorite, well, it's not historically accurate, but I love the movie Avalon, and part of why I like it is it represents like the 20s through the 70s. And there's something about that time passing and the changing culture that's really poignant in that film. But I, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work every time. So I get that. I get the idea that it's not as great.
It's also why we like seasons of The Crown rather than, you know, we look at it as season. Oh, this is the Claire Foy seasons of The Crown. She's really good at playing this specific version of the Queen. And then we've got this other specific version of the Queen with Olivia Colman. I think it's, you know, it's we like these little bite-sized pieces of a biopic.
And we also like the majority of the people who are submitting their user ratings, right, are Americans.
Yeah.
And we all watched Oprah with Meghan and Harry last year. Right. And
did we?
So we're all primed to freaking hate these people.
did you take a break from And Just Like That to watch the
I did not see any of that. Wait, what did Oprah even do? Did she just had people on or something? Or what was her deal?
I bet you talked about it on the morning.
Yeah,
stream,
we definitely talked about it on the
did
show.
Did we?
Megan,
I don't remember
and,
this at all. I remember
William
nothing.
To, or not William,
Megan and Harry.
Harry, thank you. Jeez, why couldn't I remember?
She had them on, and then what happened there? Now, anything happen? Yeah. They just talk or what? What they?
Yeah, they talked for hours, and we got to see a supercut, and then we got to see a behind the scenes, and then there were all these articles where people interviewed them about the interview, and
didn't hear any of it.
A whole generation of Americans who only sort of knew distantly about the royal family suddenly know that the Queen is is the head of a terrible insular
organization
mob, you know, and
right, yeah, so.
Good for anyone.
Yeah, I mean,
this
extended beyond like royals news and reality news and Oprah news. This was everywhere. So I am surprised. You definitely knew about it at the time, and you've done something to black it out of your memory, which is good, and I applaud you.
I'll tell you what else, Scott. The Beijing Winter Olympics are happening right now.
Yeah, no, I knew about that. That I knew about. It took me a couple of days, but I figured that out.
Man. We watched it, and that Russian heart medicine doping girl.
It's crazy. This is one of the most ridiculous scandals that's happened. And of course it has to do with the Russians. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
But hearing Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski outside of their usual bubbly, saccharine, sweet, everything versions and getting angry during the commentating. It's like, wow, they just... This is a black mark on everything.
Who in the past ever rose to that cultural level of Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski for a small sport? I can't think of anybody. Wow.
We got to keep going here because Hulu is where you're going to find Spencer. So if you've got a Hulu account, Spencer is on there waiting for you to watch it. And I'd say watch it. It's really good. It's very entertaining. And Kristen Stewart is reason enough alone to watch it. The guy who plays Prince Charles is Jack Farthing. The only thing I knew about Jack, or the only thing I'd ever seen Jack Farthing, was that TV show with the... It was like the British Friends. I can't remember what it was called, but or something like that. I can't remember.
Without looking him up,
coupling?
In my mind, Jack Farthing is in the exact same bucket as Matthew Mercer. He's an even skinnier Matthew Mercer.
Coupling
is what I was thinking of. Yes.
Oh.
But maybe I'm even confusing with somebody else. I don't know who Matthew Mercer is.
Matt
Mercer.
Okay.
Matt Mercer. He's the head of all things Critical Role, and you know.
Oh, that Matt Mercer. Yeah, okay.
That
guy,
voice actor and all that. Yeah.
Am I right? Does Jack Farthing look like him?
No, not even in the slightest.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It's funny.
It says
the I'm looking at the guy from Coupling, and that's exactly who I thought it was, and he's not. He's not the guy from Coupling. He just happens to look a lot like the guy from Coupling.
Gotcha. Never saw Coupling. Was Coupling good?
Jack Davenport. Coupling was entertaining.
All right.
It was all right.
Sexy British people doing sexy
things. All right.
I just
looked him up, and yes, he looks exactly like Matt Mercer.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
What you're on. So.
You say.
All right. So number two.
Yes.
Brian.
Number two is a series, and this is... I'm going to watch the chat room to see if anybody knows what this is, because I was recommended to this and I'm glad I checked it out.
All right, here we go.
but it...
So, let's talk about Lisa Nova. Can you sell me Lisa Nova?
You mean sell my movie idea?
No, actually, I don't. Everybody's got an idea. There's only one you. So, who are you? Sell yourself to me.
Okay. So, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but I'm not like every other director out there.
Oh, you're not? I witnessed a murder, right? I saw the guy, got a good look at him. Now the cops are standing around, the sketch artist has her pad and her pencils, and everyone's waiting with bated breath, and I say the killer was not like a jellyfish. Don't tell me what you're not.
Copy that.
Don't worry, you're still young. We keep going until we get it right.
He sounds like a young
David Duchovny. It sounds like somebody doing a David Duchovny impression.
It's funny. I hear David Duchovny. I hear Jeff Goldblum.
I hear Mandy Patinkin is what I was going
to say.
Mandy
Patinkin. Oh yeah, that's another good, very good comparison there. Yeah. That is a show on Netflix called Brand New Cherry Flavor. And this was one that was recommended to me. I'm like, it went in knowing absolutely nothing about it. I checked Rotten Tomatoes and said, all right, well, how, you know, where does this stand? This is an 81% with an average rating of 7.1 out of 10. And I think well-deserved. This is really, really good and very creepy. Here's what it is. It's if David Lynch and Cronenberg and Robert Altman got together and made a series, because it's like this seedier dark side of Hollywood with some gore and some very whacked out Lynchian kind of characters. Mm. It's basically this writer comes to LA. She's created this amazing self-produced short film. Director who you hear there, Eric Lang, playing Lou Burke, wants to produce it and brings her in with the intention that she's going to direct it. But he kind of screws her over with a contract and ends up wanting to give it to somebody else. So she, and this all happens really quickly, so it's kind of all this is set up. She goes off and somehow finds her way to this woman named Boro, who is a magician, voodoo priestess, something or other, played by Catherine Keener, who is awesome in this. I mean, it's Catherine Keener, Get Out level Catherine Keener.
Okay.
Creepy level, who uses her magic to cast a spell that that will help put a pox on this director or this producer's life. In exchange, Lisa Nova has to puke up kittens every once in a while. And that's all the setup I'm going to give you, because I want you to check this out and see how whacked out, weird, and good this is.
And it stars Alita Battle Angel?
Yeah, that's who she is. Yes, Rosa Salazar, Alita Battle Angel, Parenthood.
It's hard to tell because her eyes aren't gigantic in this, so it's hard to tell it's the same girl.
That's right. That's what, because they did that whole like video photoshopping thing. Mm-hmm. She's also been in the Divergent series. She has a Star Trek connection. She played in Star Trek, the TV show, the newer TV show. She's like a
Discovery.
Thank you. She's like a bridge member, crew member in one of those. But
she's one of the kids in Bird Box. Yeah. That's cool.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Good. Yeah, I like that movie.
So we're gonna watch it because it's entertaining. It's creepy. It's weird.
Watch it. It's entertaining, creepy. Friggin' Catherine Keener. This is one of the best things I've ever seen Catherine Keener in, aside from being John Malkovich and Get Out.
And please tell me it has lots of Jason Mendoza. Please.
It does. Yes. So Jason Mendoza from The Good Place. Good job.
Thank you.
It's her friend, Manny Jacinto. You see a lot of him. And you also see Jeff Ward, who was Charles Manson in Manson's Lost Girls, the movie. I know him best, and maybe there's like three other people out there who know him best, as Deke from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was the closest thing we got to a Bradley Cooper character in the last two seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I agree. Like, I think like I agree with you.
Bradley Cooper light is what he is.
Yeah. But he's, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
He's kind of up and coming. I think we have a lot more to come from that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
He's great. So anyway, this is a brand new cherry flavor. It's on Netflix and it is,
It's complete. This is like beginning, middle, end, and you're good.
Nope. This is season one, 8 episodes. There's definitely going to be a season 2.
There is. It says limited series. Is that true?
Oh, does it?
That's what it says on their listing.
Maybe. Let me take a look here. Production.
Cherry flavor.
I'm sorry. You're right. The production limited series was created and written by executive produced by Nick Antosca. All right. I mean, it tells the complete story. I think it's just the fact that I want more.
Yeah.
I liked it so much. I want more of it.
But it does have a satisfying end. Okay. That's
it does
what
have
I need.
A satisfying end. Yes.
Okay.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to watch this.
Eight
this
episodes,
sounds like my jam.
It is whacked out and it's great. It's
all
so
right.
good.
I'm all in. All right. Here's mine. This is a documentary. It's on HBO Max. Just landed there. It is one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. Here's the clip.
You got about 7-8 date of births and 7-8 maybe more social security numbers.
Hey.
Antoine Boutsani, Robert Hansen, Robert Medina.
Do you ever get parolees that really want to straighten up and that, you know, and they do good?
A lot of guys.
With big records like me.
We have a lot of guys. It's possible.
You know where I could cash this at? I ain't got no ID.
Okay.
Robert Medina.
I got you as Robert Steffi. You know what I'm saying? If this was for Robert Steffi, I could take you to the bank.
You see what happens when you use fake names?
Yeah, jeez.
I'll get it cash. Don't matter.
All right. Any guesses?
No idea.
This movie is called Life of Crime, 1984 to 2020. It's a documentary made by John Alpert. He's done a bunch of other work that you would recognize. But this is interesting because he started filming this in 1984 and following around these like petty criminal guys that lived in New Jersey and literally filming like them robbing a store and then getting away with it multiple times. And just kind of trying to understand their lifestyle when they started getting into drugs, that he was sort of there just filming it. This guy, they clearly like and trust him because they just sort of let him tag along. And then he covers these people and some other people that are connected to them all the way up through 2020. Do you guys remember those British documentaries, the 7 and Up and 21 and Up?
Yeah. 7 Up, 21 Up, yeah.
Yeah, it's right. Like, think that, but just one case, and it's just following these guys throughout their lives. And man, it was a fascinating deconstruction of what criminal life and drug use can do to people and to people around them. But in particular, just how bad the heroin epidemic in the 80s and 90s and then today the opioids and stuff and just how this just wrecks lives. And there are moments of like real triumph here. You're like, man, this one guy, he's doing good. Look at him now. And then total you go back and you do it again. You screw
relapse.
Up. Relapse. That's the word I meant. Total relapse and then, you know, fighting back again and all this sort of stuff. And this is all done with footage and no narrator. There may have been one or two moments of narration, but for the most part, it's just, here's this raw footage. So it's raw footage documentary. There's not a lot of commentary. They just kind of show you how it is. And you can see how time changes. You see people who were little kids who are now in their 30s. Like you get to see this, the whole swath of life for these people from 84 to 2020. And it was wild. Just one of the most interesting documentaries I've seen in a very, very long time.
It's a cool way to do it, too.
Yeah. I don't think really he ever... Who knows what he meant to do? I don't think he meant to do... You remember that the Linklater movie where the light boy's life or whatever? Boyhood. Boyhood, yeah. It feels a little like that, except that felt more planned. Like that guy knew he was going to do the chunk of time. I never saw it, I don't actually know.
It was planned.
I never saw it, so I have no idea. But my point is...
You should watch Boyhood.
I'll watch Boyhood.
Boyhood is a masterpiece.
It's on a list of things I've never seen I should watch. But anyway, this feels more like he was doing this back then, but didn't have a plan to go to 2020 with it. Like, I think he just started doing it, and then over time, he's got other films he's making, he's do other things, but he still checks back in with these guys. And then I think he just took all that footage because there is kind of an ending to their lives I don't want to spoil anything, but it's definitely worth watching to see how these people ended up. And, you know, you cover them from their like young 20s up to their 60s and everything in between. It's just an amazing documentary. It's 2 hours long. I wouldn't be surprised if this is up for a bunch of awards come next season.
And you don't feel like you needed to watch 1 Year in a Life Crime and then the sequel before this?
Wait, what? There was a sequel before this?
Yeah, this is the third of three films.
Oh, I didn't know that. Hold on.
He has a film back in the 80s called 1 Year in a Life of Crime, and then he has one in the 90s called Life of Crime 2.
Oh, is it these guys in those? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so he must have broken it up before. I didn't know that. Yeah, this is like a whole other. I mean, this includes all of that. I don't know that it's every second of footage, but this is all of that culminated, because it's not, they don't jump ahead. There's no indication like, oh, where we last picked up. It's like this is the whole story. So I think what happened there is he probably, this goes further to what I was thinking. He probably thought, okay, well, here's my short little thing. Oh, interesting. This stuff happened. It's 10 years later. Let's do another one. And now I think what happened is he just had all this stuff for 38 years or whatever it's been. And he just decided, yeah, I'm going to make one big ass movie out of it or whatever. I don't know what he did, but I really, really like it a lot.
How long is it?
2 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was going to be like a 4 hour thing, you know,
multi-episode series.
Nope. Like, it's just sit and watch it and you're good. Highly recommended, especially if you like documentaries, you know, real life stuff. It's going to be depressing for some, maybe triggering for drug addicts and things like that, because they do not flinch from certain things. It's very, very good. All right. Awesome. Randy, let's play your clip. Do you have any setup?
Are you sure? Are you sure you have time?
You got time?
I barely time. Yeah, we got time.
You know, let's what? Mine is very evergreen. We can do it some other time.
No. We're totally doing it. Let's do it. I'm going to play it. Here it is.
All right.
No statute of limitations on murder.
So, I mean, suppose you do date it, I don't know, somewhere in the 30s. Are you seriously going to use your ever dwindling resources to investigate a crime 80 years old?
It's still somebody's son, though, isn't it? Might even have his own kids who might still be alive if it was the 30s.
I never knew my father. I got over it 68 years ago.
I don't know. Is a crime less serious because time's passed? Is a wrong less wrong because it was done 50 years ago, or 60, or 70? I think if people are still alive who are affected by it, or even if they remember people that were affected, I think a society has a responsibility to take it seriously, no matter how far back, no matter how old they are.
I don't know. It feels like history to me. Ancient history. See?
Sounds like Michael Caine, no?
It's not at all. This is a ITV procedural called Unforgotten. Please go watch Unforgotten. Like, I've just been absolutely obsessed with this show.
Really?
Since it was shown to me. It is a little bit like CSI. It is a little bit like your SVU, etc. But it's English. It's six episodes per season. There's four seasons of this show. Every season tells a complete story. And every season hits you with a different case that these main people, the main person you just heard talking is Nicola Walker as the lead investigator on each of these cases. And she's got a partner played by Sanjeev Bhaskar, who is, they just have a fascinating little relationship that goes throughout the four seasons of this thing. She was talking to, I think, Peter Egan, her father, in that scene. Mm. And I pulled that scene out of the first episode of the first season because it sort of describes the show. She's an investigator. She keeps coming across these ancient cases, but finds out they have a tie to something happening right now in her modern world. So she brings this whole team to try to figure out who done it. And you get to watch as you go, you get to watch the stories of all the different suspects. So it gets unpacked like Lost. You're looking back at all of these different people and their lives and what they were then and where they are now. And so it's very dense. is what I'm saying. To start each season, you spend the first couple of episodes of this show going, man, I do not know who all these people are or what they're doing. It's so, there's so much to take in. Mm. You could almost watch the first couple of episodes over and get even more out of it, you know?
She got kind of a racket going here, and I don't mean in a bad way. She's in all of these kinds of shows. Kim and I watched River. We watched MI5. She's in both of those. She plays investigators in those. Like, she's kind of got a thing that she does.
Yeah, MI5 is called Spooks over here in the States.
Yeah. Around. Spooks in Britain, MI5.
Oh, right. Yeah. But this is, I mean, this is probably the best of this kind of show I've ever seen. It is probably... Like it, I mentioned CSI, but it's nothing. It's so much better than CSI. It's like CSI is made fast, right? It's made to, mm-hmm. You get a lot of episodes out and so on. Like, this is better. You know how CSI was that first show that you ever came across back in the 90s where you were like, oh, they put a pop song on the beginning of this show, right?
Yeah.
They have a pop song on the beginning of this one, and it's so good. I don't want to tell you what it is.
Really? Okay. Right.
But this starts with a song that has worked its way into my brain and is now a part of my everyday. This song at the beginning of Unforgotten. I'm gonna wrap it up. It's streaming in the States on Amazon Prime. Out in Canada, it's on BritBox. It was an ITV show, so if you're in the English speaking Commonwealth, it's probably available to you. Nice. And man, so freaking good.
Here's what you're gonna want to do, everybody. If all three of these things or four of these things sound amazing to you and you want to make sure you catch them, watch Randy on his Twitter account at Randy Deluxe. And of course, on our Discord and everywhere else that you find Frog Pants Community, there'll be a listing of where you can get it, how to get it, and where to get it. Randy, have a fantastic
quick
DMSLI
day. Has photos and links as well. So,
oh yeah,
by the way, the first season of Unforgotten.
Always plug that.
I just forgot.
The first season of Unforgotten star one of the stars, one of the suspects is Bernard Hill, Theoden King from The Two Towers.
Oh, I love him.
Big callback.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Amazing. And it's one of those shows where you spend the whole time going, is the highest billed person the suspect who did it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, and you won't know. And it's wonderful how it comes up with a big twist to reveal at the end.
He was great once he got worm tongue out of there, that bastard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's really good.
All right, Randy,
really
have a fantastic week. I look forward to next week. We'll see you then. Bye now. Oh, Film Sack this weekend, everybody. I forget what we're doing.
That's right. And I don't know if we said it, but that's streaming on Amazon Prime.
I think he did not, actually. I'm glad you said that. I don't think he said.
He said ITV at the beginning because it's a British import. But
there you go.
Amazon Prime is where you get that.
That's going to do it, everybody. Thank you for hanging out with us and being here and enjoying the show right along with us. For those wondering why Scott seems like he might have been in a tiny bit of a hurry, it's just lunch with Hammond. It's not like a, it's not the
just,
end. Of, I mean, well, I just mean, it's not like, you know, oh, if I don't make it, they're going
to eye appointment. You're going to get charged for.
It's not like that, but I don't like keeping him waiting. So that's the main reason. Anyway, patreon.com/TMS is where you can help support the show. Everything else you're looking for, frogpants.com/TMS. And don't forget that quick TMS.ly. Is it .ly? .ly.
QuickTMS.li. Yeah, exactly.
Keeps track of all this stuff.
Not just has your recommendals, but also your read this links, your links to every song we play on the show. I was going to put our, when we do App Slappy, I'm going to put our links to the video games we recommend as well.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, my kids are now playing Quartal, which is way bigger than Wordle in terms of like the post that you make. And now my text chat with the family is a nightmare. Oh my gosh.
How many letters is Quartal?
It's a lot more. I can't tell from looking at this. It looks like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Oh, wow. Is it a different size word every day?
Same size word, but you get like 20 chances or something.
Okay.
I don't know what. Wow. I'll have to ask them what they're doing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Huh.
I've ruined my
four
children.
Four words at once. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Is that what it is?
Quartal.
Oh, quartal. Like quad. Oh, okay. Well, that's the way this stuff goes. Okay. Gotcha. Brian, let's play a song. Do you have one to get us out on?
See, now that's something I don't have time for. One wordle? One five-letter word? I got time for that while I'm drinking my coffee, making my coffee in the morning.
Sure.
Four five-letter words? No effing way.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the final song here. This one is going out to Dustin Anderson. He says, "Hope everyone's doing well. As far as we know, we have avoided the Rona as well here in our family, even with a trip to Hawaii for our son's high school band for the Pearl Harbor 80th anniversary. That's super cool. I just tripped across this song on Facebook and thought I'd share. Any time is fine to play this. No specific date is requested. Stay safe." Signed, Dustin Anderson. Nice. Excellent. Well, this is really good, and this is a favorite band of mine, so much so that I contribute to their Patreon every month so that I get downloads of their music. This is the band Pomplamoose. It's Jack Conti and Natalie Don, and a great cover of the song by Steeler's Wheel. Make you think of Reservoir Dogs. That's what it makes me think of. Here is Stuck in the Middle with You.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a normal Thursday. Come on back now, you hear... of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I think we've made it even more perfect. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't remember her deal. Some lady about pizza. That's all I remember that clip from.
Oh.